Thank you everyone for coming. Our time this evening is a little short. We have half an hour. So I'll speak something for 15 minutes, which I think might be, hopefully will be interesting for you. And then I'll open it up to see whether you maybe have some responses or questions. The Gita is an incredible book. The Gita is actually, believe it or not, the second biggest circulated book in the world. Did you know that? Anyone know what the first one is?
The Bible.
Bible. Anyone know what number three is?
Harry Potter.
Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the Gita, millions and millions of copies have been distributed. And the Gita is said to be the essence of all the Vedic scriptures. It's explained that if all of the scriptures, Sarvapanishado Gavo, if you imagine a cow and compare all of the scriptures of the Vedas to a cow, Dogda Gopala Nandana, now picture that cow and picture someone milking the cow. So the cow is all the scriptures and the person milking the cow is Krishna. Gopala Nandana. Partha Vatsa. What's a vatsa?
Calf.
A calf. Calf. Isn't it? There was a calf demon that came to kill Krishna called Vatsasura. Partha is a vatsa. Arjuna is like a calf. And when Krishna milks the cow, Dugdam Gitam Mitam Mahat. What is the milk that's coming out of the cow?
Gita.
Why does a cow exist? A cow exists to give milk, isn't it? So this analogy is given to explain that all of the scriptures, every scripture you can imagine, exists simply to give the knowledge of the Gita. Everything here is ultimately the essence of it, the milk. This is it. It's even white. This is milk. This is the real milk, the nourishment, the miracle food, isn't it? They call it, see, we all even have milk here. The miracle food. The Gita has 700 verses, 18 chapters, three divisions in the Vedas, in the Bhagavad Gita. The Bhagavad Gita is compared to a jewel box. You know this? So there's a base and there's a top. And then there's a jewel inside. So the bottom and the top are the two different types of yogas known as Karma Yoga and Jnana Yoga. And the jewel inside is Bhakti Yoga. We can say in more contemporary terms, Karma Yoga means the yoga of success. Jnana Yoga means the yoga of wisdom. And Bhakti Yoga means the yoga of If I said you can have one of three, either you can be successful, you can be wise, or you can have love. Which one would you choose?
Definitely love.
Who will choose success and wisdom if you don't have love? And if you have love, even you don't have success and wisdom, you're okay. Because love is life. Without love, there's no life. And everything we do in this world, believe it or not, is driven by love, or driven by something which we feel will give us love. So, bhakti is the essential teaching of the Gita. Today, let me share something else with you. The Gita is 700 verses. You can imagine every single verse is valuable. But did you know that there are two verses in the Gita which are repeated twice? Did you know that? Okay, we got a hand coming up here. There are two verses which are repeated twice, which means these two must be two of the most important things that Krishna wants to tell you. Now tell me the easy one that you know is repeated.
Manmana
bhava mad bhakto madhyaji man namaskuru. Mamevaisyasi satyamte pratijane priyosime. Krishna says this in right in the middle, 934, and right at the end, 1865. You see, the Gita is like a jewel box. So on the right on the top of the box, what do you have? An inscription. This is what's inside. So 1865 is like the inscription on top of the box. This is the goal of the Gita. And then right in the middle, 934, you have exactly the same thing, because the Gita says what it says on the cover. It gives you it. So what does Krishna say? Engage your mind in always thinking of me, become my devotee, offer obeisances to me, worship me, being completely absorbed in me. One day you'll come to me and we'll be together in a relationship of love. This is the essence of Krishna consciousness. Always remember Krishna and never forget him. It's as simple as that. If you follow that rule, everything else, you've already fulfilled the purpose of it. If you remember Krishna throughout the day, somehow or other, your life will always be full of happiness. So this is one verse which is repeated, where Krishna says, always think of me. This is known as Sanatan Dharma. Sanatan Dharma means the function of the soul. The function of the soul is to be eternally in consciousness of Krishna. Krishna consciousness. Okay, so that's one verse which is repeated. If you want to note it down, 934, 1865. It's practically same. But there's one more verse which Krishna repeats twice. Yes, Gurunitai.
Saryam svadamo vikuna paramata paradharma svanustita svadamini taram shreya paradamo bayavaha.
Wonderful, yes. 335 and 1847. This is the other verse that's repeated by Krishna twice. And what's the translation of this verse? Listen carefully. It's far better to engage in your own dharma, even though sometimes you may do it with fault, rather than doing someone else's dharma seemingly perfectly. It is always better to follow your own path of dharma. So this is very interesting, because Krishna is saying, don't try to copy someone else. Don't try to be someone else. Don't try to follow someone else's path or imitate someone else's purpose in life. Know that each one of us have our own journey to go on, our own dharma to follow. In modern self-development, they say, you were born an original, don't die a copy. Some of us are better at certain things, some of us are better at other things. Clearly Krishna has given us all a different personality. Krishna has given us all different abilities. Krishna has given us all a different way in which we can function in this world. And each one of us have to find our own dharma. This dharma is known as Svadharma, your duty in this world. So what basically Krishna, you can sum up what Krishna is saying in the whole Gita in these two verses, because Krishna is telling you how to live in this world and how to ultimately get out of the world and go back to the real world. That's basically the sum and substance of the Gita, summarized in these two verses which Krishna repeats twice. We each have a Svadharma, a way in which we have to act and live in this world. We have the Svadharma means your duty to your family, your duty to society, your duty, you know, in so many worldly ways you have a purpose. And then the Sanatan Dharma means the duty that you have in the ultimate eternal sense to become conscious of Krishna, and at the end of this life remember Krishna and then go back to the spiritual world. So what Krishna says to Arjuna is that the perfect life is the life in which one follows their Swadharma and their Sanatana Dharma side by side. If you can manage to do both things side by side, you have a perfect life. Many people have the misconception that if they do their Swadharma, then that is being religious or that is being spiritual. Isn't it? Have you noticed sometimes people feel, I'm serving my family, I'm doing my duty in the world, my job, therefore I'm spiritual. No, that doesn't make you spiritual. That just means you're fulfilling your worldly duties. But you have another duty, which is your eternal duty to find out who you really are and find real love. And for that, you have to invest through sadhana. So this is basically the sum and substance. So Arjuna, he is representing someone who wants to embrace his Sanatana Dharma but give up his Swadharma. And Krishna says, no, you have to do both. And some people in this world, they do their Swadharma very well, but then they neglect their Sanatana Dharma. Krishna says, no, that's not good. Somehow or other, you have to learn to find time and energy and attention for both. And then you'll live the most successful life, happy life. And you'll achieve the perfection of life. So in sum and substance, this is what the Gita is. And rather than me just speaking and speaking, let me open it up and ask you whether you have any question based on this, in terms of the understanding of what I've said, or maybe the practical application of what it means to do these things in your life. Does anyone have any question you'd like to ask?
There is one more verse, Yad Gatva Nivartante Tadham Paramam. It is also coming two times, no?
This is the verse from the 15th chapter of the Gita. Krishna says, Natad Bhashayate Shuryo Nashasham Gunapavaka Yad Gatva Nivartante Tadham Paramam Mama. Krishna is describing the spiritual world and he says, Yad Gatva, once you go back to the spiritual world, Na Nivartante, you never come back to the material world. But no, this verse is not repeated.
Somewhere else also.
Maybe in another scripture, but not here, not in the Gita. Only these two verses are repeated verbatim. Yes.
As you said, sometimes when you live in the temple, then you tend to see a little bit like the, if you've lived in the temple like 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, more like this, and you tend to see like the grihasthas, the householders who live outside. Like it, it sometimes seems like, you know, not so easily connected to, if you can talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. This is a common misconception. Renunciates may look at householders and think, ah, these guys, they haven't really understood. They're attached, you know. They, you know, they're still looking for all this money and all this in the world. We're the ones. And then sometimes the grihasthas look at the devotees in the temple and think, they're nice guys, but they couldn't get it together in the world, you know. This guy got a job, you know, like, just an easy life, has good prasadam every day, you know. The nature of the world is we always look at others and find faults. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Naham vipro nacha narapatir napi vaisho nasudro gopi bhartu parakamalayor das das anudas. Mahaprabhu says, in the ultimate sense, I'm not a sannyasi, I'm not a grihastha, I'm not even a man or a woman. Das, 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 mudas. I'm simply a servant of Krishna. What are these identities that we carry as householders, as men, as women? These are all temporary identities. The Shastras are full of stories in which grihasthas showed themselves to be more advanced than renunciates. And vice versa as well. Yeah. Bhagavatam shows that the most important thing is that someone has love. Shall I show you how Bhagavatam turns around our conception of who's higher. I'll give you an example, okay? Generally, in a stereotyped judgment, someone will think sannyasis are higher than grihasthas. Renunciates are higher than householders. Can you think of a story in the Bhagavatam where this is switched?
Ambarish Maharaj.
Very good. Ambarish, he is a king, he's absorbed himself. And Durvasa Muni, a great renunciate, comes, but the Bhagavatam shows Ambarish is higher. Someone may think men. Men are the natural gurus of society and women are lower. So can you think of any stories in the Bhagavatam which switches it around?
We have the Yajnik Brahmanas,
yes.
The 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam.
Krishna and his cowherd friends, they were hungry. So they went to all of these Brahmanas who were doing their yajnas. Mantra, tantra, visharada, everything, perfect. And then the gopas came and said, Krishna is hungry, can you give some? They said, no, we're doing our yajnas. They're feeding. The mouth, the fire is the mouth of Vishnu, isn't it? Yajna Vai Vishnu. When you pour alms or oblations into the fire, you're feeding Krishna. So here he is feeding Krishna, and Krishna tapping him on the shoulder saying, can you feed me? No, I'm doing my yajna. Once there's a story in Mayapur that there was a guru, a spiritual master, and he was staying next to the disciple who was serving him. And somehow or other the disciple forgot, you know, to feed his spirit, to bring him lunch, his spiritual master. So the guru was knocking on the door. The disciple didn't know he was. He says, no, just hang on, give me 10 minutes, I'm offering to the picture. He was offering the food to the picture of his spiritual master. When his real spiritual master was actually starving. Sometimes we may think that demigods are higher than demons. Obviously, right? Demigods must be higher than demons. What story in the Bhagavatam switches it around?
Vritrasura.
Vritrasura has a battle with Indra. And later on we find out in that battle, Vritrasura looks like a demon, but the wisdom coming out of his mouth is the highest bhakti. So the whole teaching of the Gita is never judge someone on externals. And I'll just say one final story on this. Narad Muni, who is a great renunciate, isn't it? Lifetime brahmacharya. Once he came to Vishnu and he said, I want to find out who's the greatest. Tell me who's the greatest bhakta. This is different from Brihat Bhagavatamrita that we're discussing. Mm. And Vishnu said, you see that farmer over there? He's the one. Narada said, that farmer? I mean, at least you may have said a sage or someone or something. He said, that farmer. Vishnu said, I'll explain to you. But first, here's a pot. And he gave Narad Muni a pot. And he filled it to the top with oil. Like right to the top. And he said, I'll tell you the answer, Narad, why he's such a great devotee. But first you take this pot. So Narad, he took the pot, you know, like full to the brim. And Vishnu said, I heard that you travel all over the universe. He said, yeah, that's my name. He said, I want you to take this all around on your travels, but the deal is, don't spill one drop. I mean, imagine going through airport security. So now when he goes all over the universe, finally he makes it back. Vishnu goes, okay. Did you manage to do it? Narada was like, oh, I just managed. I went all over the universe and I didn't spill one drop. Vishnu said, excellent job. Now let me ask you, were you thinking of me? Narayan Muni said, oh, I mean, this like, full to the top, you know, I had to concentrate. I mean, how can I think? I had to concentrate, I had to balance. I had to balance this. Then Vishnu said to him, you see that farmer? He's balancing, taking care of his children. He's balancing, providing for all his family. He's balancing his relationship with his wife and other people in society. He's balancing so many duties, but look at him. And the farmer was chanting. So that's why he's the greatest devotee. Because he's learned the art of living in this world and seemingly being surrounded by so many distractions, but still focused on me. And the Narad was humbled. Wow. So, yeah, we cannot judge anyone. No one thought Prabhupada would do it, isn't it? Srila Prabhupada was a grihastha. And all of his god brothers were sannyasis. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur told all of them, spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. No one thought it would be Srila Prabhupada. Because he was just Abhay, the pharmacist. But he did it because he had faith. Bhakti nahi, bedi nahi, kub naam daro. Whoever has faith in the name. If you want to measure someone's advancement, don't look at the color of their cloth. Look at how much faith they have in the name of Krishna. That's it, finished. Whoever has name, faith in the name. Because kalo nasteva 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 gatiranyatha. You know that verse, right? In Kali Yuga, there's no other way, no other way, no other way. Once we had in the manor, we have our altar like this. So we had this verse. Hare nama, hare nama, hare nama eva kevalam. Kalo nasteva 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 gatiranyatha. So a new person came in. So the devotee was showing them around the temple. He goes, yeah, you got any questions? The person said, everything makes sense. But who's nasty Eva? Who's nasty Eva and why is she so bad? On the altar, you had nasty Eva. You know, like if you don't know Sanskrit, it just looks like nasty Eva. You know, it's like... sorry, that was just a diversion. So yeah.
I just got to remember this Ramanujacharya. He had this devotee couple of disciples, and then all the brahmacharis like this, they came to steal their wives' jewelries. And then in the night, she was laying down sleeping and her husband was outside. And then the brahmacharis, they were sent by Ramanujacharya to see how attached they were to their life as grihasthas or if they were detached. Mm. So she was laying very quiet, sleeping. And so the brahmacharis came and they took all the jewelries. But then she also had one ring on the other side. So she turned around like this so that they could take also that one. But because she moved a little, they were scared and they ran away. So when her husband came back in the night, then he asked, what happened? Why did you get them to run away? And she said that because I just moved, because I also wanted to give them the ring on that side. So Ramanujacharya, he just told his brahmachari disciples that, you see how nice couple they are.
Yeah, so in Varanashram we must have respect. The brahmacharis look at the grihasthas and they see, my God, that despite so many duties, they're still serving Krishna. And the grihasthas look at the brahmacharis and say, amazing, who in this world turns away from the world and gives their whole life to Krishna 24/7, every single day, without taking any penny for themselves? Vaishnav culture means a culture of respect in which we learn to see the good in everyone.
Prabhu, it is just that, you know, sometimes when the brahmacharya, you know, like in the renunciants in the temple, if by some, you know, 2, 5, 10 years when they decide, some may decide to get married, but then I think that in our ISKCON society, we do not always train this transition. I have seen that we have lost, you know, like some devotees who have left because how, you know.
Yeah, it's, yes, a lot of work needs to be done.
To train, you know.
Yeah, a lot of work needs to be done, and everyone, like we said, just has to find their dharma. For some people, it's more natural to live a life of renunciation. For other people, it's more natural to get married. It doesn't matter. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Grihe Thakur, Vane Thakur, Sadhya Hari Dole Dako. Doesn't matter whether you live in the family, whether you live in the forest, just chant Krishna's names, somehow or other. So yeah, we need to give that encouragement and support. It's not a failure. Yeah.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for sharing many nice points. And just to this, what Mataji just brought up, isn't it also a point, Srila Prabhupada, he mentioned that half of my mission is still unfulfilled because I have not managed to establish Vanashram Dharma. Mm-hmm. So sometimes devotees, they think Vanashram Dharma to just be like living on the countryside, simple living, high thinking. But there are so many aspects to it. For example, this about, well, training, for example, brahmacharis to undergo the transition into Grihastha Ashram. There's so many, like, so many points, educational points and cultural points. And so, and I think it's very individual from yatra to yatra. For example, in England, you're obviously more developed than we are here in Scandinavia. So I could imagine that you have in Bhaktivedanta Manor and maybe Soho Street also some system for when brahmacharis, for example, want to make that transition, as Matadishi mentioned, some systems of education where we may not have.
Yeah, definitely. Education, support, many things are there. Yeah, even help with getting a job, help with beginning a life out there. So all these things, yeah. It takes time, isn't it? It's a whole social development takes time. So we must all become agents of positive change. When we see a gap, we should come in and try to address it and make the change, isn't it?
I heard Bhaktivedanta Purna Maharaj mentioning that he said it takes 3 generations to establish a culture. Like to solidly like embed values in individuals. For example, we may have in our Vedic culture, there is no concept of divorce, for example. But if we are coming from a background, if we are converts to Krishna consciousness, then we might have it as our philosophy. Mm-hmm. Yes, no divorce. Husband and wife should always stick together. But in our culture and in our samskaras, we have seen, for example, maybe our parents or like family members or others who are divorcing. So Bhaktivedanta Purna Maharaj, you mentioned this point that, like, no, you have to have not just the parents living the culture, but also the grandparents living the culture. Your then when you are in that point, then it gets really like strongly ingrained in your children.
Good point. Yes, so it will take time. Yes, thank you. A few minutes left, if anyone has any last questions.
So, 2 points which you gave in Bhagavad Gita. One is to remember Krishna 24/7 in that way, right? To have that consciousness. The second one you told about, the second point was
finding your dharma in this world. Yeah.
Sava dharma and sanatana dharma, to learn that.
Side by side, yeah.
Being a grihastha, yes, we do that. And But there is now on this level one buddhi and ahankar. This is all the identities of present life, of course, but as per the scriptures, what I have read is also the baggage which we carry from the past. There will be external things, pleasant and unpleasant. There will be internal things which will be executed by us. Sometime it becomes pleasant, sometime unpleasant. How to maintain that equilibrium, you know, to be at a steady state? Will it come only from sadhana? How it will be within, how it will come? So that you are in an equilibrium state always. Because the mana, buddhi, it's not only these identities. It is identities maybe carrying over for maybe 10 lifetimes or you don't know. So
you are saying you have experiences in this world and then emotions within which affect your state of mind and how to maintain equilibrium.
So there will be pleasant and unpleasant also on the external factors. You know? So
that I was mentioning on the Sunday lecture. Remember I gave the example of a cup with water and then filling the room with water and how a handful of salt will come in. Were you here for the lecture?
No, certainly.
Oh, you was not here. Okay. I was giving the example that if I fill this cup with water and then I put a handful of salt within it, then the water will taste salty. If I fill this whole room with water and I put a handful of salt in it, the vastness of the water will absorb it and you won't taste any bitterness. In other words, the only way to overcome the fluctuations of the mind, the only way to deal with the emotional roller coaster of life, is that one has to understand that there's a bigger reality beyond this immediate reality. Krishna says you have to live with the vision of eternity. You see, when we were very small, for example, when I was 10 years old, I entered a badminton championship. You know, just a little school badminton contest. And I lost in the semi-final. When I was 10 years old, I thought, my God, this is the end of the world. This is like, what could be worse? This is just the whole world is falling apart. And now when I look at it, why? Because I've grown up. And when I've grown up, my vision of life has become so much more. We're living in this world, but we take it so seriously because we haven't opened our eyes to the bigger reality of Goloka Vrindavan and Krishna in the spiritual world. When you see everything in this world on the backdrop of eternity, it doesn't look so bad anymore. But when it's all you're seeing, then it will consume your consciousness. So then the next question is, how do I expand my consciousness? Well, first thing is you have to read the Shastra. Shastra is what is expanding your consciousness to tell you, my God, there's a whole world out there. There's a whole bigger reality out there. Shastra gives you the vision. Then the holy name of Krishna, when you chant it, this connects you to that reality. You begin experiencing it. Then you associate with devotee. You know, like all of this is making you a much bigger. So our vision of life has to grow.
If I may just that, Dipesh Prabhu, who started coming to the temple a few years ago, is a busy householder with a young child, but he's also diligently studying the Bhagavad Gita. How far are you in this?
In the 11th chapter now.
11th chapter. And so we have an agreement that as soon as he finished the Bhagavad Gita, then we're going to install the Srimad Bhagavatam in his home. So Prabhu, he gave a very nice lecture yesterday about the value of spiritual knowledge. We recorded it, so it will be put out very soon. I think you should watch that, because you gave so much like elaboration on exactly this point, how spiritual knowledge, it's how it's helping us to handle these fluctuations of the world.
Yeah, and I'd say one last thing on that, Problems are only what you see when you take your eyes off the goal. You see, also when we're practicing spiritual life and we're actually experiencing spiritual life, then because you have that higher taste, because you have that higher experience and that higher aspiration, all the problems of this world becomes insignificant. Just, okay, it's there, it's part of life, let's move on. But to the extent that we're not experiencing that, then everything in this life will become, everything will become a struggle. So, Hare Krishna. Thank you so much for your time and your attention and for coming and giving me the opportunity. Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
Srila Prabhupada ki
jai. His grace with Sabha Prabhu ki jai.